Well, we are beginning the process of wrapping up our Conquering Giants series. We only have two more giants to look at. This week is the giant of failure. And then in 2 weeks, we'll conclude the whole series by looking at the giant of illness and the giant of battling health. Next week, as was mentioned before, we are taking a break from the series and we are hosting our third annual Let's Serve Others Day. And so we're going to break from our series and head out into the community as we care for our neighbors. It's a wonderful way for us to put our faith in action and to show what we believe and to show that we are Christians by our love. And so next week, I would encourage you to come and to bring friends, to bring people who are your neighbors. They're always looking for ways in our community. People are looking for ways to help others. And so this is a great way for you to say, hey, come and check out what we're doing. But today, we want to talk about the big giant, which is the giant of failure. And our key verse for this whole series, the entire time we've looked at this each week over and over, is Romans 8:31, let's actually read this out loud together. Can you read this with me? Romans 8:31 says, if God is for us, who can be against us? If God is for us, who can be against us? Are you guys memorizing this verse? Say this with me one more time again. If God is for us, who can be against us? And when we have that in our bodies, in our hearts and in our minds, and we're living that out, it'll change the way we operate. It'll change the way we think. It'll change the way we act. It will change the way we live. And yet it's so easy for us to forget that verse when we face the giant of failure, isn't it? Failure is another huge giant that comes knocking at our doors regularly. It's especially dangerous because this giant of failure is going to come into all of our lives. There's no choice about that. If we allow it to keep us down, this giant of failure, it brings about discouragement. It brings about despair and depression. It brings about doubt, even disillusionment. Like the giant of temptation that we discussed last week, we cannot stop the giant of failure from knocking at our doors. It will continue to come. But with God's help, we can learn to live and grow through failure. As we had started this morning, I thought maybe we could talk about some big failures, some notable failures. I'm going to call these maybe famous failures, if you will. So I want to see if you can guess some of the people that I've outlined here, people who have failed so royally in their lives. So the first one is a leader who started out in the military. And the first war that he was in, he lost. And he not only lost, he lost the entire fort that was under his leadership. In the next war, he lost twice as many battles as he won, but then he started to turn around and he went on to great success. Can anybody guess who this historical leader is? George Washington. Very good. All right. So that's the first one. The second leader was a failed businessman. He was fired as a businessman, and then he failed at his own business, and so he decided, well, I'll go into politics. He ran for office 6 times and lost until eventually he won, and then he was elected to the highest office in the land.
Donald Trump.
No. Today he's considered to be one of the greatest presidents who's ever lived. Anybody know?
No.
Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln. Exactly. Yeah. All right, number three. Before he got into politics, this leader started as a bank clerk and a bookkeeper before he stepped out and started his own business. The business he owned was a hardware store, but he failed as an owner-operator, and the store went bankrupt. He also went into politics, and he taught the country that the buck stops here. Who was it? Harry S. Truman. All right, you guys did pretty well. Here's one more, last one. This leader was very charismatic. He was well-liked as a politician. He got off to a really good start, but he had an embarrassing moral failure that became public. He really got into trouble because he tried to cover it up. He almost lost his job. But he rebounded in the end, and he was able to come back. Any idea? You'd think it was, but I'm not talking about Clinton. No? No? King David. King David, right? King David. It was a little bit of a tricky one, I know. But King David, the Bible, we've been talking about David and his life, and this last one that I'm talking about is King David, his moral failures. He tries to cover it up. He almost lost his job over this one, but eventually he came back. The Bible tells us that David was Israel's greatest king. It also tells us that David was a man after God's own heart. He wanted to please God with everything that he did. But David was also a man, as we know, of grand failures. Last week we learned in 2 Samuel chapters 11 and 12 where David committed adultery with Bathsheba. He then murdered her husband Uriah. David's decisions then led to all kinds of family drama that just went down the line. In chapter 15 of 2 Samuel, we read about some of the results of David's decision with Bathsheba. For one thing, his son Absalom leads a rebellion against his father. This was David's darkest hour as his son is trying to take over his kingdom. David, at one point, is found retreating out of Israel. And when you read the chapters, and I would encourage you to do so, read the chapters of 2 Samuel, following what we talked about last week, 11 to 12, into 15. When you read these chapters, you'll see in the story that David is an adulterer. He's a murderer. He's a failed parent. One of his children was raped. One of his children was murdered. One of his children is trying to murder him. It's pretty bad, right? I mean, when you think about it, no matter what failure you're facing, I doubt you or I have ever faced that trifecta that David experienced. Murder, family illness and injury, your own children trying to kill you. It's a pretty bleak scorecard. And to be sure, David experienced some major failures, and what we see in his history is that failure hurts. Failure hurts. Whenever we face failure, it hurts us. Many of us have seen some pretty painful situations when it comes to failure. Some of you right here, just because we're together in a group, some of you are dealing with failure right now. Some of you are dealing right now with a failure that comes from the shambles of a failed marriage. Failure hurts. Some of you are facing the reality that business that you started isn't going as planned. Maybe you've recently lost your job or you're struggling in your job, and your job is tied to your identity, and so failure hurts. Some of you are failing in school, and you feel like, can I really turn it around? Failure hurts. Maybe a relationship that you're in now isn't going as planned, and you can see the end. Failure hurts. Maybe when it comes to your kids, they're not turning out exactly as you wish they had. Maybe when you look in the mirror, your weight isn't exactly what you want. Maybe your health isn't where you want it to be. Or maybe you haven't reached the goals that you've set for yourself in life. Failure hurts. Maybe some of you are here today and you feel like your relationship with God is failing. You're wondering, can I ever get back on track with God? Can I start over? Have I committed some sin that God will never, ever forgive? Is it too late? Failure hurts. The truth is, we all struggle with failure at one time or another. And so, friends, I have some good news for you today if you're here or you're listening online. Failure is temporary. Failure is temporary. Write that down at the top of your bulletin so you don't forget that. Failure is temporary. Think about those failures of the people that I talked about earlier in this message. Abraham Lincoln and George Washington and Harry Truman. All of those major failures. Even King David in the story had a moral failure. He murdered somebody. But it was just temporary. Because God always says, you can begin again. Here's a big question for us today. When you fail, and you're going to fail, when you fail, will you give up or will you grow up? Will you give up or will you grow up? Will you give up on your relationship with God? Will you give up on your relationship with other Christians? Or will you grow through your failures and grow in your relationship with God and grow with the people of the church around you? David decided he wasn't going to give up. In fact, if you pushed your way through the story of 2 Samuel, verses 11 through 15, we read about his failures in those chapters. But if you continue on into chapter 22 of 2 Samuel, we see how David begins to turn the corner on his failure. I really do. I encourage you to read chapters 11 through 22. And just pick that out and do it as homework from Pastor Doug for this week. Go home and find a time, grab a cup of coffee, and read through those chapters. It's just a few pages. Anyway, David goes from this moral failure to being the best king ever. How did that happen? How did he go from here to here? Well, let's talk about that as we talk about overcoming the giant of failure. As I said earlier, you can't keep the giant of failure from coming to you. We live in a fallen world. We live in a broken world. It's a sinful world. And the Bible is very, very clear. You are going to have failure knocking at your door. You are going to experience failure in your lives. So how do you conquer that giant? How do you move forward with God? Well, drawing from David's life, particularly looking at the Psalms today, Psalms that he wrote during his times of failure, we're going to outline some steps to overcoming failure. And the first step is this. First one is this. Number one, deal with your emotions. When you come face to face with failure, deal with your emotions. No matter how strong you are, how mature you are, whenever you fail at something, it's going to hurt. There are emotions that are tied to that, and that's natural. We are human beings. You are a person. I am a person. We're human. When we fail, it hurts, and so we feel that. Whenever our careers fail, it hurts. When a relationship fails, we hurt. When we fail at a job or a business or we get fired from something, it hurts because our identity is wrapped up in these things. So it is with a relationship. Relationship pain can be really hurtful and painful because when you're in a relationship, you put all of yourself into that relationship. And when that fails, you hurt. We've got to learn to deal with these emotions because these emotions will keep us down if we don't. They'll keep us down. Even if God is trying to pull us up, if we don't deal with them, they will keep us down. In dealing with our emotions, we have to face them head on. Listen to David as he faced his emotions, and he wrote the words in Psalm 3. David's fleeing from his son Absalom him. He's fleeing from his son. He's running away from his son. His son's trying to kill him, and David says, "Oh Lord, I have so many enemies, so many are against me, so many are saying God will never rescue him." Have you ever felt like David? Ever been in a place where your failures just make you feel so down and out? Ever been at a point where the failure seems so great that you say, "I don't even know if God can help me out of this"? Those feelings are a natural consequence to failure. In fact, psychologists tell us, they've discovered that when you go through failure, here's how it works. There's actual steps that we go through. Kind of like the grief wheel, if people go through grief and they go through steps, there's something that you experience with failure. The first of all, you feel shock when you fail at something. I can't believe this happened. I can't believe it. How did we lose the game? I can't believe that. How have I lost this? I can't believe I failed. And your shock then leads to anxiety and fear. What's going to happen next? How do I recover? What do I do now? And then we move to anger. And this one's interesting because in anger we tend to blame others or we blame ourselves. We blame other people and say, well, it was their fault. It's your fault. Or we look inside and we say, oh, what an awful person I am. It's my fault. And then after that comes shame, the cover-up. I hope nobody finds out. I hope I'm going to be able to keep this quiet. How am I going to face my loved ones again, the people that I care about? And then if you're not careful, the last part comes to despair. I'll never be able to fix this again. I'm worthless. There's nothing I can do. And so there's the pattern. When we fail and we don't identify our emotions, then we get stuck. When we fail at something, we get sad, shock, anxiety, anger, despair, sad. We can become paralyzed by our failure. We become paralyzed in our relationships. We can become paralyzed in our connection with God. We become paralyzed in our lives. And so we need to find a way to face our emotions, to come face to face with them. This can be hard to do. And just a little bit of a snippet, I would tell you, I believe that this is one of the reasons why God gives us the church. One of the reasons God gave you the people on your left and the people on your right, as you look around today, is so that we can come together, so that we can sing the song, so that we can be inspired, so we can study Scripture, and so we can pray with one another, so that we can be encouraged. God gives us the church so we can come together in growth groups and we can share and we can be with one another and we can learn. People who will hold us up in the difficult times. People who will pray with us and for us. You need people who will help pull you up, and this should be a safe place. The church should be a safe place for people to experience their emotions. Not just say, hey, how are you doing? Fine. Fine. I'm fine. We're not fine. When we fail, we're not fine. This has to be a safe place for us. Additionally, we can go to God with our failures. Sometimes we're so afraid to go to God and we say, God, I'm in shock. God, I'm afraid. God, I'm angry. Sometimes we're even angry at God, right? But God can handle it. God can handle our emotion. He says, come to me with your failures. Bring it on. I am here. And here's what God says he will do. According to Scripture, he says, when you come to me, I will pull you up. I will help you up when you come to me. I will not leave you alone. You are way too important to me. So go to God with your feelings of failure. He wants to hear from you. Go to God, or we have to deal with our emotions. We have to deal with our feelings. Go to God and bring them into the church. Number two, draw close to God in the midst of your failure. Draw close to God in the midst of your failure. When you draw close to God, God will pull you up. In fact, God loves to pull us up off our feet when we have fallen on our face. On Wednesday, our growth group in Romans, we started this past week, we talked about how when we mess up, God is there, and it's almost like he's pulling us up with a string, if we understand. It's like, bang, we go down, smack, and we can't get up on our own. It's almost like we're dolls in some respects. We're just like, oh, I just feel overwhelmed, and I'm sad, as I said before. I go through the despair, and I'm feeling bad about everything. We can't do it up on our own, but when we trust God with our failure, it's as if God is there to pick us up and gives us the strength to get us up off the ground. It's as if God says, that doesn't matter what you did. You're trusting me. That's what matters, and I will help you get up. God doesn't look at us and say, yeah, I feel sorry for you, kid. Sorry, you, whatever. You messed up. You're down there. You get up off the ground. That's not how he handles us. God says, I'll be there. I want to help you. God doesn't desert you when you fail. Sometimes it feels that way. But God never deserts us. The truth is, God wants to use your failure to draw you closer to him. How many of you know this statement is true? Most of the time, we only learn during our pain. We learn from our failures more than we learn from our successes. It's true, right? There are two possible responses when it comes to failure. You can either push God away, or you can lean in towards God. You can either push God away, which is going to cause more despair, more depression, more discouragement, more trouble, or you can pull up towards God and draw God close to you. I love the fact that God has put David's story in the Bible. David had major failures, but every single time that he messed up, he kept looking up to God. He kept looking up to God. He drew close to God. Even in the midst of his mess ups, he knew that God was there. Listen to Psalm 51. Verse 10, David, in this part of the Bible, has just been confronted by Nathan, the prophet. Nathan said, dude, you messed up with Bathsheba. You committed adultery. You committed murder. And you got to answer for that. So Nathan, the prophet, goes to him and says that. And here's what he says. Here's what David writes. He says, I'm not going to push God away. Instead, I'm going to lean into God. He says, create in me. You've heard this before. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Do not banish me from your presence, and don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me. Restore me to your salvation. And even though I've failed God, even though I've disobeyed you, make me more willing now to obey you than I was before. Friends, we have the same choice as David when we fail. We can't let defeat keep us down. We can't let defeat and failure keep us from God. We can't let defeat and failure keep us from experiencing all that God has in store for us. Let us draw close to God. Failure should never separate you from God, nor should it separate you from the church. If you will listen to him, if you will allow God to use your failure to draw you closer to him, if you've ever failed at something and you live with the feelings of shame or guilt or despair about the choices that you've made, disappointment in how you've done something in the past, please hear me. Hear me say this very clearly. God is not disappointed in you. He is not disappointed in you. God may not like what happened. He may hate what has happened. He may hate that you disobeyed him, but he will be right there with you. God loves you. And he says that your future with him is still possible no matter what has gone on in your past. Is there anything that's happened in your life, maybe a failure, something that's preventing you from drawing close to God? Maybe it's a relationship or a problem at work. Maybe you've had a moral failure or got some recurring sin like we talked about last week because temptation is so great. And you've allowed it to push you away from God, the God who loves you. My challenge for you today is to lean into God. Turn around and lean in to God. Learn these lessons from David. Don't run away from God, but let your failure cause you to rely on God's power more than you ever have before. Believe today that God is going to get you through this to the other side. The keys to conquering the giant of failure: deal with your emotions, draw close to God. Number three is determine the cause of your failure and learn from it. Determine the cause of your failure and learn from it. Assess what went wrong. Just like when you fail, you can draw close to God or push away. Every time you fail at something, you can either choose to push the panic button or the pause button in the midst of your failure. Now, just to be clear, sometimes it's appropriate to push the panic button. Sometimes when you fail at something, you need to push the panic button. You're caught off guard, something surprises you. Sometimes it's okay to panic. But if you keep pushing the panic button over and over and over again, and never get to pushing the pause button, all that's going to do is keep you in a cycle of bad emotions. It's going to keep you sad as you deal with your failure or don't deal with your failure. So along the way, you have to learn to press the pause button. And you have to say, it's time for some self-evaluation. I need to stop beating myself up for this. I need to start thinking about the future. Psalm 38, verses 1 through 4, David wrote these words, perhaps we believe right after the death of Uriah. After David has killed this man who he took this man's wife as his own, after this affair, David wrote, O Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger or discipline me in your rage. My guilt has overwhelmed me. It is a burden too heavy to bear. He said, the issue is my guilt. The issue is I have sinned. That is what has happened. David felt guilty because he had messed up. He failed big time. He knew that he'd messed up. He knew there was going to be tough consequences. But through his failure, he turned to God and he said, God, grow me through this. Teach me through this. And God reminded David that he wasn't done with him yet. Years ago, one of my friends made a statement, and I've never forgotten. He said, God doesn't work on a parked car. I thought at the time, and I still to this day think that's a pretty corny statement. But God doesn't work on a parked car. But what he meant by that is that you have to work on your relationship with God also. That God doesn't do all the work. That there is a partnership somehow in the way that God has designed this relationship between human beings and himself. We are not robots. We are not just someone that moves around according to what God wants. We have a relationship with God. And so we have to understand that our role is to pay attention. Our role is to evaluate our decisions. Our role is to understand if they line up with God's best or if they don't. And to do whatever we can to evaluate those choices that we make. As long as you learn from it, God will continue to use your failure. That means that when you press the pause button, you learn to say, okay, God, what can I learn from this? This hurts. This hurts, but what can I learn from this? If you've been through a rough relationship, if you've been through a divorce, You know, think about this. We don't just push the panic button and jump right into another relationship and say, well, okay. We take a moment, we pause the button, and we evaluate. Okay, what just happened? I don't want that to happen again. We say, what can I do differently? We focus on ourselves or our relationship with God. If you failed at work, or if you're a struggling student in school, if you haven't met a goal that you have set for yourself, don't keep doing the same thing over and over and over again. Press the pause button and say, God, okay, why did I do that? Why did I fail? Then listen. Then listen for God's voice and learn what He has to teach you. Ask God, okay, God, what are you trying to teach me? What is your new purpose for me in this? Then shut up and listen. And that takes us to number four. To conquer the giant of failure, you have to deal with your emotions. You have to draw close to God. You have to not let that giant push you away from God. Draw close to Him. You need to determine the cause and assess yourself. Ask, why did this giant come? And God, what can I learn from it? And how can I work through your purposes for it? And then the last step is you make a decision. You make a decision. You decide to follow God's new plan for your life. God loves new plans. He's all about new plans in life. God loves to give revised directions. And the truth is that most of us have a deep-seated fear of failing. And so we end up never even listening to God's voice. We don't even get to hearing God's voice because we're so afraid of failing that we won't even take the time to hear what God has to say. We'll never even risk taking God's new plan because we like what we like. We do what we do. So instead, because we fail, we become gun-shy and we say, oh, I'm not doing that. I'm not going to go over there. God says failure's a detour. It's not a dead end. Failure's a detour. When it comes to God, as long as you have breath within your nostrils, there are no dead ends. Even if you make a big mistake and you get seriously off God's path, you're outside of God's will, if you turn to God and repent of those old ways, God will give you a new path. God loves healing hearts. He loves giving fresh starts. God says, let me get you on the path that is right for you. I promise you that with God, no failure is permanent. Failure is always temporary if we give it to God. Listen to what David wrote in Psalm 37, where he says, the Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. Though they stumble, they will never fall. Why? For the Lord holds them by His hand. Friends, David had some major failures, but David stayed focused on God through it all. He said, God, from here on out, direct my steps. After the bad choices, after the temptation, after all the fear that consumed David, as we read in his life, at the end of his life, we read that David was the kind of king that God wanted him to be. So out of a right relationship, not out of the affair, but out of a right relationship that he had with his wife, he had a son named Solomon. And David handed the kingdom over to Solomon. And Solomon took the dream that his father had started and he rebuilt the temple. This led to the greatest age in Israel's history. In fact, Solomon learned from his dad's mistake as well, because Solomon, the wisest man who's ever lived, Solomon, he wrote down in the Proverbs. Listen to what he says in Proverbs 24. The godly man may trip seven times. I think he was talking about his dad. The godly man may trip seven times, but they will get up again. But one disaster is enough to overthrow the wicked. In other words, if you push away from God, that disaster will take you down. But if you lean in towards God, God will help you get back up. Whatever failure you're facing right now, marriage, job, financial, personal, whatever it is, I'm here to tell you it's not final. It's not the end of your story. Your failure will not prevent you from being used by God. Only you choosing to stop, to push away, to park your car, to give up, only you will stop yourself from being used by God. even the giant of failure, even that giant is not so scary when we look down on it from God's shoulders. If God is for us, who can be against us? You're going to fail in this life, friends. You are going to fail, and I am going to fail. Maybe today, maybe tomorrow, maybe the next day, someday, we will fail. We all do. So to conquer this giant, deal with your emotions, draw close to God, determine where you have failed and learn from it, and then make a decision to honor God and to move forward. Amen.